Praise God. Praise the Lord, everybody. And we'd like for you to stand. We have already made mention that our camp starts tonight, and many of our people are up in Shawnee or are on their way. And we canceled Revival Ridge this afternoon. But as time goes on, more and more people are coming in. So I take it that some of you just started the holiday already. And I can't believe I set my alarm and it went off, and I jumped up and pushed the coffee pot button, started making coffee, set in a recliner, which I always do, wait till it finishes, and I woke up at 8:30. I called Sister Gran. I said, "Sister Gran, it's time to get up. It's 8:30. So if you had problems getting those eyes open today, you're not by yourself. Years ago, I kind of frowned on people that dozed all the time. There were some people who just doze, and I never could do that. I could stay up as late as anybody, and I just wouldn't doze. But lately, I don't know what's wrong with me, but lately, Sister Grant could be talking to me, and I just go to sleep. She said, "Now, let me tell you this again, but don't go to sleep." I can't believe. That's why I said I could sleep on a staircase. It's just that, I don't know. I don't know if it has anything to do with age or what. But nevertheless, it is good to be in the house of God. And it's good to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, what has caused me to come to the conclusion that it is right for me to speak on this subject is that we have war going on throughout the world. South America, Central America, North America, there are terrorist groups, I mean, you name it. China, North Korea, it's just everywhere. But it's a different kind of war because you never know who's on what side. I don't know. You had bombings yesterday. There's bombings every day. I don't understand why people want to just take a bomb and strap it to themselves and walk into a library or mall and set it off, kill themselves along with 15, 20, 30 people. But that's happening. And sometimes we think that if somehow we could outlaw guns. But the whole problem is the iniquity that's in the heart of man. And you're not going to solve it until the individuals doing this get right internally. And this all started back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And the problem was not the pear in the tree, or the apple in the tree, but the pear on the ground. You know, it's and as sin continues, more and more and more, God is getting fed up with the way man acts. When I was a child, when I first started going to school, I got a few spankings in the school. One time I got a spanking, I was in second grade, and I didn't do what the teacher said I did, but she thought I did, and she gave me a spanking. When I got home, I complained to my mother, which I shouldn't have, and I said, you need to go, her name is Smith, Miss Smith, you need to go talk with Miss Smith, because I didn't do this. Now, this is what she told me. She said, you may not have, but when I put you in the school, I trusted the leadership. I trusted your teachers. And if she thought you needed a spanking, guess what? I think you need one too. Did she spank me? Oh, yes, she did. My mother, she was, everything I wanted to do, if I asked her, she was going to say no. She said, nope. You mean I can't go do this? Nope. Now, the strange thing about it is, the more I ask her, the more she'd say no, but after a while, she'd say, you're not going to that event or whatever, and I said, you said no. Well, if you want to go, I guess it's all right. But she just was programmed to say no. But those were what we call the good old days. I made mention of this. I think my mother would have been good at drive-by whippings. So, I want to turn to Matthew 5, verse 9. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Too many Christians are troublemakers. Pastor Roy told me a couple of weeks ago, he said, I just don't know why people can't behave themselves. Well, I do. It's because sin is in the world. And the greatest effort against the church is sin or trouble that exists in the church. We don't like to talk about that because we like to think that everybody is just right. But that's not true. How many times have I sat at my desk, looked across at someone and said, are you praying about this? And no. How come you didn't? Did you go to your brother? No. Well, you know you're supposed to. I guess I forgot. Okay, before I talk any further, then you go make things right with this brother or this sister. Now, God bless you. You may be seated. So, today's title is Peacemakers or Peacemaker or Troublemaker. Which do you want to be? You want to be a peacemaker? Or you want to be a troublemaker? How many of you would like to be a troublemaker? Raise your hand. Nobody. Isn't that great? Jason Brosh wants to be a troublemaker. Jason, you don't have to practice. And then there was another hand raised, too. Mark Nikielski raised it for Christina. Well, this is bad for your marriage. Oh, my. It's bad for your marriage. You know, while I'm thinking about it, Sunday night, they were trying to figure out where Mark came from. They were calling him Mexican. He said, nope, I didn't come from Mexico. And somebody said Colombia. Well, you know, he had a Polish last name. So, I don't know if he claims to come from Poland or not, but... Oh, my, Mark and Christine, aren't they great? Yeah. Just downright great. Yes. One of the signs of the last days, when they cry, peace, peace, then sudden destruction. And everybody in the world is wanting peace. And even some of the radical terrorist groups. They say they want peace. But what they'd like to do is blow up everybody that doesn't see things exactly the way they see them. And so we see in our world today an overwhelming desire for peace. But at the same time, an overwhelming desire, passion to kill people. Now, I don't know. I don't have any idea the feeling that a person would have to take a gun that's loaded, knowing full well, take someone's life and just shoot them for nothing. Just random shooting. You know, there's a lot in the Bible that Jesus taught about how to behave yourself. Now, I've mentioned this before, and I know that concealed carry is a real popular thing. But before you pull out a gun and kill somebody, you better know what you're doing. And somehow, you've got to understand that Jesus taught us that if a person smite thee on thy right cheek, pull out your pistol and shoot him. Is that what he said? He said, turn thy left cheek. Oh my! So we have to understand that we cannot allow. Now, I didn't say that I was in favor or against concealed carry. I'm just saying we cannot allow the spirit that possesses these people to shoot and kill to come over us. I have done a lot of counseling in my day, and the first thing I talk to people about is what does the Bible teach? Let's go to the Bible. And it is amazing what the Bible has to say about a lot of things. It's just amazing. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's say it together, Prince of Peace. Let's say it again, Prince of Peace. You know, and the good thing about coming into the house of God is that we can come in here and we can feel the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's just a wonderful spirit. It's a wonderful feeling to come in here and shake brothers' hands and sisters and hug necks and listen to the preaching, worship God in the beauty of holiness and fellowship. We have 5 minutes to greet each other. It doesn't take 5 minutes to greet our guest. We want to greet our guest, but we also like to greet each other. And it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to greet your brother and your sister in the Lord. And then, of course, there's a whole lot of teasing going on. The men like to get involved in that, and that's okay. But there is a time in which we stop all of it and go to the Lord and worship again. So his presence and his peace is endless, Isaiah 9, 7. Of the increase of this his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So, we know what it's going to be like in heaven. And the best thing for us to do is behave ourselves the way we would if we were in heaven. Not going to be any shooting. There's not going to be any disagreements. There's not going to be any fussing and arguing. It's all going to be great when we get to the other side. And no more pain. And no more suffering. Isn't that going to be great? Oh, praise God. Who is a peacemaker? A peacemaker is one who is at peace with his brother and sister. However, he also is one who creates peace between two brothers that are sisters that are not peaceful. So have you ever thought about maybe you are the arbitrator between two people that can't get along? And that doesn't mean you go and start preaching to them. But you somehow, through the power and the wisdom of the Holy Ghost, make yourself available to create an atmosphere that would cause peace between two individuals. You cannot be a sorehead and be at peace. You know, Sister Grant, she thinks it's her job to feed all the birds. And I keep telling her, now the Lord's going to take care of the little sparrow. And the thing about Sister Grant, she doesn't care if it's a sparrow, if it's a blackbird, if it's a starling. Starling are the least liked on my list. But she thinks it's her job to do that. But one thing, she attracts a lot of birds, and when the birds are feeding, it's hard for them to get along. Now, you may not believe this because you'd see some books It's got birds in it. These little hummingbirds, you cannot believe. Every last male is a sorehead. I mean, he will eat. She's got these bottles of sugar water. He will eat and fly up on a limb and watch that. He just stands up there like a little police. And if another one comes by, zoom, down he comes. You cannot believe how hard he can hit. It doesn't make any difference if it's a male or female. You know. Now, what he has against them, I don't know. They can't talk, but boy, he can fight. And sometimes they fight, you can hear their wings, and also you can hear their bills clicking. Don't want you around, want you to leave. Sister Graham brought me a picture out of a magazine where a lady had two hummingbird feeders, and she must have had 20 on each one. She said, how do they get along? I don't know. Must be a miracle. They must attend Calvary Gospel Church. I got to brag on you, you know. This is the best church in the UPC. Yeah. There you go. Praise God. First, let's just talk about a troublemaker. Now, we're not going to get involved real deep in any of this because we just won't have time, but because there's a real Bible study in this that would last two or three lessons. Let's turn to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look. You know, some people, when you see them, you just, ego just jumps out. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deciseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. You know, you'd be surprised what your imagination can do. The Bible talks about casting down imaginations. Now, you have to understand one thing about human flesh. Jesus cast devils out. And the Apostle Paul cast devils out. But sometimes it's just a problem with the flesh. And when you have a problem with the flesh, you can't cast the flesh out. What you have to do, you've got to deal with it. And when the Bible says casting down imaginations, it's, have you ever had something to stick to your skin? I went swimming one time and had a what they call them, leeches? Is that, yeah, okay. Had a leech to stick to my leg. Now, I don't know when he stuck to my leg, and the things don't move very fast, but he was stuck. And you have to take and pull him off, rip him off. And what happens with the flesh is sometimes you get something like, let's say, like a cancer. And the doctor has to take and literally cut you open and cut that thing out. So when you have a problem with your imagination, sometimes you can just dream up things about people. But you've got a problem. But then it goes on and says, he that soweth discord among brethren. In other words, he that divides the body. And the Bible says seven things, speaks of the seventh thing. And the seventh thing is the one that God hates the most. Now, in verse 19, in Proverbs 29:18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, the word vision is there. The word division or division, I'll pronounce it that way, is just two letters apart. But when you see die, D-I, attached to vision, the word D-I originally, it means two are to be separated. So, if you have a vision and someone is determined to cause problems, what that person will do, they will divide the vision. So when the Bible speaks of division, it simply means somebody has taken and divided the vision. And the Bible says that when there is no vision, then the people perish. So when your vision has been divided, that simply means you can't focus on anything. It's Jesus said, I believe Matthew 7, if thine eye be single, then the whole body is full of light. But if your eye is not single, what he was saying is, if you can't focus, then iniquity takes place in your heart. So you got to be very careful when you start tallying up with someone that's dividing the vision of the church. And people can do that. They can say, I don't know, Pastor Roy is not here, but he has been outlining a good number of things for us. But to go around and say, I don't know, he's a pretty new pastor here, and you start dividing the vision. That's what happened to Korah in the Old Testament. You know who Korah was? He led an insurrection against Moses. Now, to me, this is one of the most serious situations in the Bible. And he confronted Moses and said, I've got a big group of people. Now, I've had people come to me and said, well, this is not really how I feel, but I'm representing four or five people. I said, don't you ever do that. You go to them, tell them they should represent themselves, but nobody else but themselves. And I remind them of Korah. That's what Korah did. And Moses simply said, Lord, if in the event he is right, then I want you to put your blessings on it. But if he's not right, I want you to punish him by dying or doing, passing from this life in an unnatural way. In other words, not like all other men. And the Bible says that when Korah was troubled in his heart, and he was deciding what he needed to do, Numbers 16 tells us that all of a sudden, the earth began to shake and it opened up. And that Korah, along with 250 men, fell into the pit. And they died an unnatural death. Basically, the pit, the Bible says, comes from a Hebrew word that hell comes from. Now, could you feature a person that did not die, but fell straight into hell? That's what the Bible is saying. We have a person in the Bible that went straight to heaven. Actually, two people. But 250 people went straight into hell simply because that they decided Moses doesn't have the right vision. We have the right vision. We're going to lead these people the way we feel these people needed to be led. But to see the pit open up, and you go straight down into hell. 2 weeks ago, out in Yellowstone, a gentleman, he was a tourist there. He left the plank sidewalk. They tell you, stay on the sidewalk. You get fined $1,000 if they catch you. And by the way, they do watch to find out if somebody's. Because here's a guy that decided he wanted to go out and get a closer look at these paint pots. How many of you have seen those paint pots out there? How many of you have seen pictures of them? Well, I've seen them. They just bubble. They're hot. And the heat is coming from inside the earth. Like the heat comes from a volcano, only this is different. Goes through a lot of the earth, and this guy got out there and fell into one of those paint pots, and he went down. And the authorities that came says there's no way that we could ever retrieve him. He's gone forever. Now, how far down did he go? I don't know, but I know one thing. You couldn't breathe if you were in a paint pot. But you think about the earth opening up. And Korah, along with 250 men. And the name Korah is mentioned several times in the Bible. Now listen, when God begins to remind us of some of these people that had serious problems, when he gets something stuck in his craw, so to speak, you better make sure that you're not committing the same sin. He mentioned Jezebel several times. Don't ever get a Jezebel spirit. Because God got that stuck in his craw and he's not going to forget it. And when we look in the Bible, in Numbers 16, it doesn't appear that Korah was doing such a bad thing, because we see that being done in churches throughout the United States, throughout the world. Something you disagree with, something you don't like. You know. I told a lady one time, if you find the perfect church, please don't join it because you will spoil it. You know, you hear that all the time. Why? So this business of being a troublemaker is a big deal with God. Now, I just want to talk, though, about the characteristics of a peacemaker. Number one, a peacemaker is one who has a forgiving spirit. Pastor Roy preached a marvelous message on that. We did not get it recorded, so it's not online like it should be. But forgiveness, having a forgiving spirit. And, you know, the more authority that you have in the church or in Christ's kingdom, the more you need a forgiving spirit, because you're going to have some people that will hurt you and hurt you deeply. But you got to have a forgiving spirit. Number one, peacemakers are happy people. The Bible says blessed. That means happy. Happy are the peacemakers. So that simply means if you're a peacemaker, you've got a happy, vivacious type spirit. It'd be nice if you don't know how to smile, if you'd learn how to smile. You know that? How many of you don't know how to smile? Boy, everybody knows how to smile. Look at the person next to you and smile. Would you do that? Mark Nikilski has already driven his wife out. He's back there alone, so. Another thing, peacemakers are content. In other words, they're at peace with themselves. Colossians 3:15. Look what this scripture says. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Notice this scripture does not say let the God of peace. It takes one of the fruits of the Spirit and says, this fruit is designed to rule in your heart. Let the peace of God. So the next time you get so angry, you're about ready to kick the stars down, you want to throw dishes or plates or something, and remember, first remember you got to replace those. You have to buy new ones. But secondly, let God step in and rule in your heart. Let him take control. So peacemakers are content people. Peacemakers spend their time doing productive things. They're gluing plates back together or somebody else. Oh, my. Peacemakers attract good people. In other words, they have good people surrounding them. If you have someone that's always coming your way, always got bad news, you need to find somebody else as a brother or a sister. You see, the word gospel means good news. The word gossip means bad news. Now, you cannot win people to the Lord until you become the good news. And if you are the bad news, you're going to drive people away from God, and also you will corrupt brothers and sisters in the church. So learn to be the good news. Attract good people. Number six, peacemakers spend their time promoting righteous things. Things that are biblically correct. Number seven, peacemakers trust other people. I've been told you can't believe the times. I don't trust many people. I've been burned. Well, if you don't start trusting people, you might be burned. Well, one thing for sure, I can't get hurt again. You can't? You're not willing to? Now, what if everyone that you knew failed to trust you? I had a minister one time tell me, said, Brother Grant, I just had to laugh, I'm sorry. You know what I want to do? I leave my phone in the car because I have had it on, and I had it on not long ago at a wedding. And I thought, this phone's not turned off. What am I going to do if it goes off? So I made up my mind. I made up my mind. If mine ever goes off and I'm preaching, I'm just going to, whoever it is, I'm going to say, hey, would you please just wait a minute? I have a little bit to do before I finish this message, and just keep on preaching. Oh, we can have fun, can't we? Yeah. I saw Tony over there with his, but I think he's taping or something. Tony sat in a chair. Well, things get to the top in a hurry. Tony sat in a chair over at Great Awakening and split that chair wide open. Our little Tony. Meanwhile, back on the ranch, I forgot what I was talking about. But this minister, he was kind of a... Well, he was a different kind of man. But he asked me, he said, Brother Grant, will you fellowship anybody that's got a lower standard than you? I said, will you? He said, absolutely not. I said, well, let me ask you this. Would you fellowship someone with a higher standard of righteousness than you? He said, oh, yeah. I said, then let me ask you this. Where does your brother find justification then in fellowshipping you? And you're going to always run into someone that if you analyze a situation, you would decide not to trust them. Don't be analyzing. Don't be tearing people apart. Don't be judgmental. Peacemakers speak well of other people. Speak well of other people. So if you want to be a peacemaker, and I mentioned peacemakers, they arbitrate peace between two people that they're not related to, but they feel that they can help with peace. So if you are around someone that starts speaking evil of someone, you can actually stop that. You don't have to be rude to them. All you have to do is just start speaking well of them. So, you know, I found that person to be, on the contrary, I found that person to be a very kind person. I found that person to be very loyal to the church and so forth. See, a gossip won't stay around when you're talking that way. They just won't do it. Peacemakers, they are team players. Team players. You know, if you follow sports, you'll find that every now and then there's a football player or baseball player or basketball player that's really good, but they can't get along with the coach and they can't get along with anybody else. After a while, even though they've drawn big bucks, after a while, they're let go. And they say, well, he went to the, Seattle Seahawks, maybe a new start. But he goes there and it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And the only answer is just a rebirth. A rebirth. Behold, all things are new. You've got to be a team player. It's the same way in the church. You've got to be a team player. Because team players find honor, or pleasure rather, in honoring others, such as their pastor, their fellow man, government officials. Now, I don't agree with a lot of things that our governor and president, our senators do. And I think in a democracy it's okay to say that. I don't agree. But we are also in the church, and the Bible teaches us to honor. We honor government officials. We honor the king, which would be the president. If you've been making jokes about the president, God's not happy with that. Not that God's trying to protect the president, but he's trying to protect you. Because something can get a hold of you. You know, this the thing about forgiveness, I have to go back to this. The thing about forgiveness, you know, I know of a lady whose husband was the assistant pastor of this lady's father. And this lady caught her dad making love to the lady in the church. And of course, the father that committed the sin, he had to leave the church and everything. But the man came to me, the husband of the lady that caught her father committing sin. He came to me and said, "Can you talk to my wife?" I said, she's so embittered about it. So I did. I paid her a visit and with her husband, my wife, and we sat down and we talked about it. I said, now, you need to get this out of your system, because if you don't, you see, if you don't forgive, it's like ripping the pages containing the cross right out of the Bible. Well, she didn't forgive. And she continued. Well, her and her husband left the church where he was assistant to his father-in-law. They moved far away here in the States. And would you believe, I got word that this lady, they put a pipeline through back of the church, and she got real friendly with a guy, and he got where he'd step in the church and take his breaks, and she'd make sure she was on there. And after a while, she did the same thing her father did. Because, she's, you know, if you don't have a way to get rid of sin, then what's going to happen is that sin's going to take over. And she became guilty of the very same thing that her husband was guilty of. So you have to be careful about stepping out of bounds in the scripture. So a peacemaker finds pleasure in honoring his pastor, his saints, his spouse, his government. Doesn't mean you agree with everything, especially when we have a democracy. But you have to be a Bible believer. That's what the Bible says. Peacemakers are givers, not takers. You know, some people just take. Others just give. Peacemakers are givers. And the last, number 12, peacemakers are the children of God. They are the children of God. I want to be a child of God. Do you? We'd like for our praise team to come. We'd like for all of you to stand. What do you want to be, a peacemaker or a troublemaker? Peacemaker, yes. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, I tell you one thing. Troublemakers, they may hang around the church, but they're going to pay the consequences. It's not going to be good for them. Not at all. Now we're going to open up the altar area for you to come and pray. If you need prayer for your body, come and stand over here on the keyboard side. We'd like for our altar workers to come. We have a short crew today, but we do have some altar workers, so come on down. So come over here if you need prayer. If you've experienced some situations in which it's been difficult for you to overcome, why don't you come and stand right in front of the pulpit here? And now for you who need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why don't you come and stand over here? Over here on your right. Come on down. Yeah, that's it. Come on down.